What a blessing. That's one of those grand old English hymns, birthed during times of revival. Mine, mine, mine. I know it's good to have a know-so salvation. Amen. I know thou art mine. I'd like you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, as we stand to our feet in honor of His precious Word. John, chapter 4, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. It seems like I refer to this passage, this story, and I preach from it. Several different sermons. Never gets old when I think about this woman and the grace of our Lord. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for the fact that one day, one glorious morning, we'll be there with all the saints in heaven with thee. Till that time, Lord, we proclaim that thou art mine and we are thine. Lord, we come now and we ask you to add your blessing to the reading of your word and your power to the preaching of it. We need thee today. I can't do this on my own. But I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would do something through me and preach your word to these hearers. And may we all hear what we need to hear and respond the way we need to respond and be obedient as we go away. May Christ be real to all of us. For it's in His wonderful and precious name we do pray. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's a lot of great stories in the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ as He personally deals with individuals. We see as He talks to multitudes. We see as He talks to groups. We see as He uses groups of people that passes out bread to bigger groups of people and bigger groups of people. And we see all kinds of miraculous things. But I love the stories in the Bible where the Lord Jesus deals with individuals. He gets very personal with them. And all throughout the Word of God, we see this happening time and time again. And I have a few of them listed and we'll not talk about them, just through the way of mentioning these. We see Christ as He and the nobleman's son. We see Christ and Jairus' daughter. We see Christ as He deals with the woman with the issue of blood. We see Christ as he speaks with Nicodemus personally and talks with him. We see Christ as He goes to that Gadarene hillside and He deals with this maniac that nobody else could do anything with when they chained him and bound him, and he would break the chains and cut himself. We see the Lord Jesus as He deals with the man that was blind from birth, and He heals the man. We see the Lord Jesus as He speaks with Zacchaeus, little Zacchaeus, that wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. We know the song, and we know the story. And what a day that was in the life of Zacchaeus. Christ heals the leper and the centurion's servant. Then one of his own that he loved so dearly, Lazarus, he raised from the dead. The woman taken in adultery. You remember the story. All those men bring her to him and said, "We caught her in the act, in the very act." Jesus stoops down like he didn't even hear him. He writes something, he stands up, and he says, "You that are without sin, you cast the first stone." He stoops down and begins to write again. And one by one, from the oldest to the last, they left. And when he stands again, it's just he and the woman. "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" "They're all gone." He says, "I'm not going to condemn you. You go and sin no more." What a Savior is Jesus Christ our Lord. This is one of my favorite stories that we've looked at this morning. The Lord Jesus deals with this woman, this great story in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. And I want us to look at the woman at the well, and I want to preach on this thought, the well of salvation. The well of salvation. Now, no doubt there was a physical well that was there, and the Bible teaches us that the Lord, being wearied on his journey, sat thus on the well. There was a well that he went over to, and he sat down, and he was resting himself. And the woman comes to the well. It's a 6 hour, it's noonday. And she comes to the well to draw water. We see the humanity of Christ in this, and the fact that he was tired and weary. But we also see the deity of Christ and the fact that he still is God. And when we see this story, there's just a few things I want to remind you of. Just for a few moments, I want you to put yourself there in that place. And I want you to see some of the things that the Lord Jesus was seeing and understand some of the things that he was understanding. And then I want you to think about yourself being that woman, a sinful person. And I want you to see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Christ can do. What he hopefully has already done in your life, and if not, what he wants to do today in your life. May God help us to see this. First of all, I want you to see that he came to her. He came to her. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. Let's look at it. The Bible says, verse number 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." And the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Now we need to understand the story here. Going through Samaria was not the way that Jews would travel from Judea to Galilee. Samaria would be one of three ways that you could get there in your travel. One of three routes that you could travel. But the Jews would not go through there because of the dissension. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew, right? We understand that. And we understand that salvation is of the Jews. And that's why we hold them dear. It was through those tribes, those Jewish tribes, one tribe in particular, that Christ came into the world. He's that promised seed that came into the world and became salvation for all who believe. But he says that he must needs go through Samaria. He went away that nobody else would go. Why did he have to go through Samaria? Because he knew this woman was going to be there. He had an appointment. He came to where she was. I love the song that Squire Parsons wrote, "When I could not come to where he was, he came to me." What a Savior we have. And today he has come to us, and he has provided everything we need to be saved. The scripture says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Christ must needs come into the world. God sent his Son into the world. There was no sacrifice that was sufficient. The blood of bulls, the blood of goats would not satisfy a holy God. There had to be a spotless, innocent, perfect lamb. And the only one that could die for mankind was the perfect, spotless, innocent Son of God. The very Lamb of God had to come to this earth. And He came to us. He came to where we are. And He gave Himself for us. Think about what He did. Think about Him being in heaven. He leaves the portals of glory. And He takes upon Himself the form of a servant. The Bible teaches us about this. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9, where the Bible says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." Why? For the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, we see Him, the Creator God, the mighty God, the God that in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. This God became lower than the angels. The Bible says He became lower than the angels, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He came to us. He came to where we are. Just as He came to this woman, just as He must needs go through Samaria, just as He had to be there at the well at the noonday hour, at the time, the hottest part of the day, when would not be the normal time for anybody to come and draw from the well. But here's a woman that was so sinful that nobody wanted to be around her. He said, "I have an appointment with her." And He shows us His wonderful work as He goes to the well and He meets this woman. He came to her, and like He came to her, He has come for us. He was made a little lower than the angels so that we can be made higher than the angels. Think about that. Christ didn't redeem an angel. When Jesus died on the cross, there was no redemption for angels. But He redeemed mankind. The seraphim, the cherubim, the angels, they're there protecting the holiness of God. They're there singing the praises of God. They're around His throne. The Bible teaches us that we have angels that watches over us. I believe that. But one thing I don't believe is I don't believe in worshiping angels. There's only one that's worthy of our worship, and that is the Lord. But Christ was made lower than the angels so that He could redeem us back to Him. And we were made higher than the angels. And we're going to be with the Lord Jesus one day in His presence if we know Him as our Savior. He came for us. He lowered Himself. And then He humbled Himself. Notice what the Bible says, if you will, in the book of Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself," He made Himself, "of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now I want you to take note of what the Bible says. The Bible says He made Himself of no reputation. The Bible says He took upon Himself the form of a servant. And the Bible says He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what the Bible is teaching us? The Bible is teaching us that we are sinful men and that Christ had to take upon Himself the form of a servant. He had to become man like you and I are men. And the Bible says He humbled Himself. He became humble, the Creator God, the God that said, let it be, and it was. The God that spoke the world into existence in 6 days, 6 literal days, and on the 7th day he rested. People try to manufacture something like that wasn't 6 literal days. But the Bible proves, even the wording of it proves it was 6 literal days. The Bible, the science tries to say that it took place millions and millions and millions of years ago. But the God that created the heaven and the earth began this 5,000 years ago, 6, somewhere around in there. This world's not millions of years old. No. God created the heaven and the earth. God made man. God made the sun, the moon, the stars. In the beginning, God. God the Father, God the Son. The word for God there is a plural word. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost were all there. In the beginning. So, in the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost created the heaven and the earth. That's what the Bible is teaching us. That's what the Bible is helping us to understand, that Jesus Christ is God. And the Bible says the God that created the cattle, the God that created the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, the God that created the sun, the God that created the moon, the God that created the stars, the God that created the grass of the field, the God that created the herb, the God that created the ant, the God that created the elephant, is the God that humbled himself. And the Bible says he took upon himself the form of a servant. He came to where we was so that he could die as a man would die. And the Bible teaches us when they nailed him to the cross, they nailed all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our suffering, all of our sorrow. He nailed it to the cross when he came to where we was. He came to her. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He came for us. He lowered himself. He humbled himself. He came to her. Secondly, he knew her sinfulness. This is an amazing thing. He knew all about her. Look at what the Bible says back in the Gospel of John, verse number 16. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. He knew everything about her. Notice what she said in verse number 29. She said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, we know that John says that the things written are great things, but John also says at the end of his book that there's so much that could be written that the heavens could not contain them. We see in this story, as the Lord Jesus deals with her having had 5 husbands, living with a man. But I read into this, and I'm not trying to add to or take away, but I read that there was more to the conversation than just this one incident. Because she goes and she says, I want you to listen to this. He knows everything about me. He knows all things that ever I did. Everything. He knew her sinfulness. He knew where she was living. He knew she was living with a man. He knew that she'd been married 5 times. He knew that she had this sinfulness in her life. And he still came to her. Jesus loves all sinners. As a matter of fact, sinners is why Jesus died. Sinners are why Jesus came. And Jesus died for you and for me. You know what you are and you know what I am? I'm a sinner. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want you to understand that she knew, that he knew all about her. And I'm sure she was amazed. This was quite a conversation. I mean, she is just flabbergasted at what's going on. She is amazed that, first of all, he's even talking to her. And then he speaks to her and she finds out who he is. She says, this is him. This is the Christ. This is the one. He knows all about me. He told me everything that I've done. Is not this the Christ? Well, I want you to be reminded of something today. He knows all about you. He knows everything about you. By the way, he knows the good, but he also knows the bad. He knows the motivation behind what we do. I believe we'll stand before the judgment seat as a believer. We'll give an account of what Christ had for us and what Christ put in our care. And he knows if what we're doing is for show or for him. And there's a lot of people that do this for show. Never understood it, but they do it for show. But he knew all about her and he came to her. And he knows all about us. He knows today if you're saved or if you're not. He knows if you're playing the game or you have truly trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He knows if your name is just on a church roll or if it's on heaven's roll. By the way, if it's just on a church roll, then you're not on your way to heaven. But if it's on heaven's roll, it's all right. He knows everything about you. He knows what you thought when you woke up this morning. As a matter of fact, he knows what you're going to do with the rest of your day. He knows all about you. He's God. It's an amazing thing when you think about this. But you're not going to surprise him with any secret sin. If you're here today and you think, you know, I can't come to the Lord because of this, you know, and he would be shocked to know that I've done this in my life. He knows everything about you. And he's willing to take you just as you are. He knows our sinfulness, just like he knew this lady's sinfulness. And he came to where she was. Well, he's coming by your way today. He's speaking to you through his word. He's helping you to understand that though you may have sin in your life, he died for your sins. If you're willing to ask him to forgive your sins, to come into your life, to be your Savior, you know what he'll do? He'll forgive your sins. He'll come into your life, and he will be your Savior. This lady had five husbands. Now she's living in adultery and he still comes to where she was. He looked beyond what she was and saw what she could be. And that's what he's doing to you today. He's looking beyond what you are. And he knows what you can be. But you've got to give your life to him. You need to trust him as your Savior. If you've trusted him as your Savior, you need to trust him with your life. Day by day, your life's in his hands. Surrender to him. He came to her. He knew her sinfulness. And then I want you to see thirdly, finally, he offered eternal life. He offered her eternal life. The Bible says in verse number 10 of our text, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about the water in Jacob's well, the water at that particular physical well, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want you to notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, whosoever. I like that, don't you? Whosoever drinketh this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. He offers eternal life. He offered it to her that day. But she had a choice to make. He's offering it to you right now. You have a choice to make. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 28. The Bible says she left her water pot. What she was doing at noonday was very important. important to the fellow she's living with, to that home. They needed the water. But the Bible says that she left something that was very important, and it helps us to understand that there was something that was more important. Sometimes we get busy with things. We think things are so important, but the most important thing is to know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To know that Christ is your Savior, that heaven's going to be your home. To have that settled once and for all. The Bible says in chapter number 7 and verse 37 and 38, the Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, he didn't say if any Jew thirst, any Gentile thirst. He didn't say if some men thirst. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, Christ now has been glorified, and the Holy Spirit has been given. And the Bible teaches me that if I will come to him and drink of this water, that he'll fill me up. I'll be filled with the Spirit of God, and I'll never thirst again. He is offering eternal life. If any man should come, eternal life is a gift for all of us, and it's for all who receive it. It's wholly and fully the gift of God by His marvelous grace. He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to make you be saved, but He's offering it to you. And by the way, He's already come to this earth. And He's already died on the cross. He already rose the third day to prove Himself victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's already ascended back up into heaven, and He is already seated at the right hand of the Father. So He's come to us. He's come to where we are. He knows your sinfulness. He knows what you've done with your life. He knows if you're saved or if you're not. He knows what's keeping you from being saved. He knows everything about you. Yet He's still come by today to tell you that He loves you. And He's still offering to you everlasting life. Now you have a choice to make. This woman chose to leave something very important for something that was more important. If your job is keeping you from being saved, if your family is keeping you from being saved, if something is keeping you from being saved, I want you to understand the most important thing in your life is to give your life to Jesus Christ, and then you will be a better employee, you'll be a better wife, a better husband, a better son, a better daughter. Don't let that stand in the way of you getting your life where it needs to be. Give your life to God. He will take you just as you are and take you into His family. And He'll begin to work in your life and cleanse you, make you a new person, give you new dreams, new goals, new ideas, give you the Spirit of God to be with you every day. So those of you that are here today, to the unbeliever, to those that are unsure, this gift is being extended to you today. For those of us that have already trusted Jesus Christ, this story helps us to understand that our responsibility is to take this gift and to extend it to all. Jesus came and He said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that He was the light of the world. But then Jesus turned around and said, ye are the light of the world. The work that Christ came to do, that He finished on the cross, He has left for us to do in extending salvation. We don't save one soul, but we have to take the gift that God has given to a lost and dying world. It's our responsibility. It's what we're supposed to be doing. And anyone can receive it if they want it. Are you tired of just not knowing? The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. This dear lady in John chapter 4, she'll never forget this noonday trip to the well. This will affect her for the rest of her days when she was here on earth. And it's been affecting her since she left this earth. What once was just simply a well of water, to this woman became a well of salvation. And today you may have come to get a drink of physical water, a little refreshing, but you may go away with something even greater. You can go away with an everlasting life through Jesus Christ. So many people come to church just to be refreshed, but they must be reminded that they're sinners, that Jesus died for their sins. You want to talk about being refreshed? When as a sinner, you take a drink, you give your life to Jesus, and He gives you everlasting life. That's what refreshing really is. It's called regeneration, salvation, eternal life. It's offered. It's here today. It's for you. Why are you here? If you're not saved, why are you here? I'm going to tell you why you're here. Because God wanted you to hear that He loves you. And that He came to you. And He knows all about you. And He says, I'm going to offer you eternal life. Now, what are you going to do with it? Christian, what are we doing with the eternal life that we have? Are we extending it to others? Are we telling others about Jesus? I hope so. Let's bow our heads. As we bow, we get ready to pray here in just a moment. Musicians are coming. Song leaders coming. Getting ready a hymn of invitation. Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. May I ask you a few personal questions today? If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I've taken this drink. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I know there's a day in my life where I prayed and I trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for my soul's salvation. I am a true believer in Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I have been born again. I know that I am headed toward heaven, not because I'm perfect, but because my faith is in the perfect Savior. That's settled in my life. If you can say, it's settled in my life, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, would you raise your hand right now as a testimony? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I've prayed and asked Jesus to save me. God bless you. Thank you so much. Isn't it a blessing? You know, wonderful to know that you're on your way to heaven. Now you've raised your hand, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. If the Lord Jesus were to come to you today and say, what are you doing? He already knows. But if you were to have to give that answer to Him, say, what are you doing with the eternal life that I have given you? Would we be able to say, I'm doing what you would have me to do, Lord? I'm giving myself to this eternal life and extending it to others. I'm being a Christian witness. I'm living like a Christian should live, not in perfection, but I'm doing my best to live for Christ. If we can't say that, then why don't we just come clean before God, confess our sins? It doesn't mean that we're some great sinner. It just means that God sometimes points things out in our life that helps us to see, here's an area that I need to get better at. Come and confess that to the Lord and then ask God to help you. Now, I've asked people about being saved. I'm going to ask you, if you're here today and you did not raise your hand and you, right now you would say, Preacher, there's never been a day in my life where I've asked Jesus to save me. Oh, I may have prayed many times, but I've never come clean before God, confessed, understood that I was a sinner and called upon Jesus to be my Savior. If Jesus were to come today, if death were to come today, I don't have assurance, I don't have peace that heaven will be my home. And I'm going to ask that you would pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you raise your hand right now and say, "Preacher, that's me. Please pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't want to die without the Lord." God bless you. Pray for me, preacher. May the Lord help us to do the right thing. Christians, may God help us to be the light that He intends us to be. Father, I pray Thy will be done at this time of invitation. May we be tender to the Holy Spirit's calling. In Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's quietly stand to our feet. The piano begins to play, Brother Chris.